Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, it's a wonderful thing to think of what God has done for us, how he brought us here tonight and how he saved our souls. You know, it is a wonderful thing. And, you know, I just couldn't help but think. I was looking up in the sky a couple nights. I know this last week, I think, there were some stars up there. And, you know, as I was looking up there, it just dawned on me that, you know, a few years ago, it would hurt when I would look up into the sky. I just couldn't move my neck very well, it seemed like. And you know, I realized this last week or whenever it was that I was looking up there that, you know, it doesn't hurt anymore. Now I can look up there and it's good, you know. It's really beautiful to see those stars. And, you know, very few people knew this, but Sunday I really had some pain in my lower back. And I didn't really tell very many people about it, but it was so amazing because Sunday night, it just, you know, I could just sense all at once it was gone. And, you know, I just really have to thank the Lord because he is so good. And also I had a rash that was itching, and I noticed that's gone too. And, you know, God is so amazing. And those touches that we receive from him, it's just a wonderful thing to walk with the Lord and to have him with us and to know that he is here and to be able to put our faith, our trust, our hope in him and to know that, you know, he's our great physician. He knows how to handle our needs, how to supply our needs, and how to help us. And, you know, it's been kind of an interesting week, I guess you could say, but, you know, the other night I went downstairs to lock up the house and make sure the lights were off and everything else before I went to bed. And lo and behold, I looked at my front door. I looked through my front door and there was somebody crumpled on my steps, on my front steps leading down to the sidewalk. And I mean, yikes, you know, what is this? Who is this? You know, dead or alive or, you know, Lord. And it was quite something. But, you know, I did call 911, and they were there within seconds. And, you know, obviously there was a guy there, and I saw that it was hard for him to stand initially. And I don't know if he was drunk or, you know, if he was on drugs or whatever all had happened. But, you know, I just thank the Lord that he is with us. You know, and that we know that he's with us, you know, regardless if we're with 10,000 people or regardless if we're alone, the Lord is with us. And that's a wonderful thing to know that, you know, in the midst of all these things that pop up in our lives, that God is still there. He's able to keep us. And, you know, I know somebody, you know, reacted. I mentioned to one individual and, you know, she was saying, oh, you've always got to have two people with you or another person with you. And, oh my, I don't want to live in fear. I don't want to be a panic type of person. And you know, I just feel like, you know, I'm going to, you know, drown or something terrible is going to happen if, you know, there's not somebody in person watching over me. No, God has his angels that encamp around his children. And God is with us. He sees us. He knows us. You know, he knows the end from the beginning, and he knows how to help us. And praise the Lord. You know, when we gave our lives to the Lord, we put our lives into his hands. And, you know, he knows how to keep us. And, you know, and praise the Lord. We don't know how many times we've been rescued from something that could have been disastrous. Oh, my. But our God has been mighty. And, oh, my. I think I will forever marvel how Jane, when she went through her ordeal, how she went those blocks, several blocks, and she was blacked out, you know. I still marvel. That's quite a distance to go. But praise the Lord. The Lord was with her. Praise the Lord. And he's kept us. And here we are. And I think we all have testimonies of, you know, moments when it had to be God and nothing else. And you know, we have so many reasons to praise him. Oh, thank the Lord. Our God is so good. Amen. He's with us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you again for what you have done, oh Lord, and the fact that we could put our hope, our confidence in thee, Lord. We could trust thee, Lord. Oh God, you are that friend that sticketh closer than a brother, Lord. And oh God, you said that you would be with us. Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. And God, we believe you, Lord, and we know that it is true. Regardless of what is happening to this earth, God, you said that you would be with your children. Oh God. And oh Lord, we thank you, God, for thy precious promises. Oh God, oh Lord, the things that are written, Lord, that have been declared, oh Lord, that, oh God, all come from thee. And oh Lord, we can put our hope, our trust in thee, Lord. I pray that you'd work in our hearts tonight. I pray, oh God, that you'd move mountains that need to go. I pray that you'd give us faith. God, I pray that you'd talk to our hearts, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you'd be with your people, Lord. That there would be a move of the Holy Ghost, Lord. That your presence would come down and fill this temple, Lord. Oh God, that we would know that you are here. Oh God, that you are walking with us. Oh God, that you are with us. And oh God, and knowing, oh God, how to sustain us through all of life's trials. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Oh, God, we ask that you come down. Oh, God, that you'd meet our needs here tonight, Lord, that you talk to us, that you'd use this word, oh, God, to talk to our hearts. Oh, Lord, let the devil be rebuked. Oh, God, we give you, oh, Lord, the praise, the glory, Lord, for thou art here tonight to help us, Lord, to give us what we have need of. Lord, I pray that you'd use this word, Lord. Oh, God, I give it to you and ask you to direct it, Lord. I know I can do nothing without you, Lord. I ask, oh Lord, oh God, that you'd inspire, Lord, and that you would move, God, that you touch us, Lord, that you'd give the answers that, oh Lord, your people are seeking. Oh God, that your presence would come down, Lord. Oh God, for we do lift thee up, oh God, and we do acknowledge thee. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank you that in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank our God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're just going to deal with a rather basic topic, I guess I could say, here tonight. But I think it's one that's quite needful in all of our lives. And you know, I'm so glad the Lord talks to us. Oh my, the things that he tells us. And just sometimes, you know, you're in the Word and all at once something sticks out. And oh my, you know, there's a message. It's just for you. It's just for me, you know. And thank the Lord. But, you know, it's because he cares. And he sees us. He knows that, you know, we're just flesh. And, you know, oh, we desperately need him. Amen. Oh, man, we need him. Oh, but he is with us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to start here in 1 John, the second chapter, verses 15 through 17. I'm going to call this message, Overcoming the World. Praise the Lord. Overcoming the World. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise our God. Well, this is indeed a familiar passage here in 1 Peter. I guess that many of you have it memorized. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. 1 John, the second chapter, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, yes. Oh, we are in the world, but we're not of this world. And you know, We don't want our treasures to be in this world, because, you know, where our treasure is, that is the place our heart will also be. And, you know, here we are instructed that this world that we live in is going to pass away, and all the lust, all the things that people currently know in this world are going to pass away. But praise the Lord, I love that little ending there. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Praise the Lord, there's something greater than this world. Oh, there's something to strive for. There's something to work for. And there's also something to overcome. Yes, because the world kind of captures people in its claws. And, you know, it's a driving power in so many people's lives. And, you know, they live for the things of this world, or for relationships, or for power or prestige and all those things. But here we are told clearly, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And again, very clearly, if any man love the world, the love of a father is not in him. Much to think about indeed. Amen. Let's turn now to 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. Praise the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we're going to focus on verse 12 here. Verse 12 here, 1 Timothy 6 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Oh yes, this indicates here that there are actions required in this walk with the Lord. And here the word fight is used here to describe the spiritual battle that we fight within and without even at times. And again, you know, it's a good fight of faith. It's something to strive for. It's something that's deep in the heart. And yes, that need to lay hold on eternal life, to value the things that are above more than the things that are on this earth. And yeah, the things, the treasures that the Lord has reserved for them that love him. And praise the Lord, if we're the child of the Lord, we've been called. And yes, in coming to the Lord, and I pray that in our life from day to day, that there is a good profession that we profess before many witnesses. Amen. And that's essential. You know, if we, you know, are ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to be ashamed of us. And it is needful that, you know, we would profess the Lord. And this is in varied ways where, you know, we're not denying him, we're acknowledging him, we're giving him praise, we're speaking out, you know, about the Lord and saying things that will please him, making a declaration in the way that we live, in the way that we talk. Praise the Lord. It is necessary, because if we are ashamed of him, if we are not able to profess him before men, he will not be able to profess us before the angels that are in heaven. It's that clear. It's that simple. Praise the Lord. If, you know, the Lord is in us and we are in him, it wants to come out. We want to identify with him. We want to, you know, let the world know that we belong to Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. But it is a fight. It is a good fight of faith. These are action words. You know, we don't want to sit on the sidelines and do nothing and let somebody else fight the battles. I you know, if we can't, you know, do the things that the Lord asks us to do, I'm not so sure we're going to make it in. Because, yes, he does have expectations of his people. And, yes, there are verbs in this verse here, this verse 12, then we need to fight the good fight of faith and to lay hold on eternal life. We've got a destination. We've got a goal. We've got something that's deep in our heart. You know it, and that's on our mind. Our mind is made up. We're laying hold of that promise and the things which are above, those things that we are looking forward to. Oh, yes, one of these days, and probably much sooner than most people would ever think. Amen. So it is a good fight of faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. It tells us in 1 John, the 5th chapter, I'm also going to read a verse here in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, where it says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Praise the Lord. That's right. We're going to lay hold on eternal life. We're going to fight that good fight of faith. But we know that, yes, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And we've got to keep that in mind. We've got to keep that faith intact in our life because, oh my, we'd never make it without faith. Oh no, we never could. But here it tells us that the victory that overcometh the world is our faith. And again, you know, it's an action word. We show faith by the way we talk, by the way we think, by the things we do. We're showing faith or not faith, you know, depending on how you're living. But it also declares in this verse, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Yes, there's an overcoming that must be in our life. We're striving to enter into that place that He has prepared for us, into heaven. And oh yes, we're not going to do it without some action. Oh, without some efforts, without some fighting in the Spirit. Oh, some fighting by faith. But praise the Lord, the victory that overcometh the world is faith. Praise the Lord, and oh, we want to keep that shield of faith. Oh, yes, because oh, when the devil tries to aim those fiery darts at us, oh, yes, we want them to just make no impact. We've got that shield on and it catches those darts before, oh, they can get to us. Oh, praise the Lord. That's what faith is all about. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, so we can live in victory. Oh, so we can make it in, so we can endure until the end. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And now let's just turn to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Praise the Lord. What about this good fight of faith that we are involved in? Oh, we know that it isn't a physical armor that the Scripture is talking about at all. In fact, if we look here at 2 Corinthians, this 10th chapter in verse 3, it tells us, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." And then it explains in verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Oh, praise the Lord. You know, nobody's going to, you know, literally see the weapons of our warfare, unless the Lord would give him some kind of, you know, vision type thing. But praise the Lord, they are real for the people of God. Oh, yes. The people of the Lord are clothed with the armor of God. Praise the Lord. And though we walk in the flesh, we're still in our flesh as far as, you know, the realm that we live in. But we do not war after the flesh. In other words, that good fight of faith that we are fighting is not in the sense of literal armor. the way that people would generally consider it. And I love how that fourth verse explains that, yes, it's these weapons that we're armed with, the armor of God, the shield, and all the other pieces, they're not carnal. But oh, praise the Lord, they are mighty. They are mighty through God. Oh, yes, to the extent that we are able to pull down strongholds through the power of God. Oh, yes, that which He equips His people, that which He puts inside His people, that which He gives us. Oh, that precious saving name of the Lord Jesus that we sang about tonight. Oh, yes, there's power in that name. There's authority in that name. And oh, yes, we could call upon that name. Oh, yes, and that blood that He shed prevails. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, that armor that He has put upon us, oh, that prevails too, yes, to bring down those strongholds that try to come against us. Oh, yes, we might have to fight. We might have to fight in the spiritual sense. Amen. And it might take a little while sometimes to pull down those strongholds. But, you know, we can prevail if we will continue to fight and not give up, and to continue to fight and not give up. We can prevail in the saving name of Jesus through the power and the authority that He has given us. Oh, praise the Lord. I like that. We don't have to be defeated. We don't have to walk in fear. We can walk with the Lord and know that He is with us, that He is holding us up. And through His name, the power that He has given us as His children, we can pull down those strongholds that try to come at us. Oh, yes, they might be aiming for the heart, for all I know. But, oh, praise the Lord, that which the Lord has equipped us with is mighty through God to the pulling down of those strongholds. And we know that there is nothing too hard for God. You know, I mean, a lot of times, Lord, you know, I'm just a big work here, Lord, and I've got, you know, all these little things that I need help with, and oh my. But you know, our God is mighty, and He is able, and you know, He's not limited. Oh, praise the Lord. He is so able to help us. And, you know, we just don't know. I mean, there are surprises in this world. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, we honestly don't know what He's going to do next. I mean, I had a big surprise the other day. I know my son Samuel's been so good to help me with my lawn. But I know he's been really busy with some tasks that he's got there at the house, and a bedroom that had mold, and you know, it just had to be redone. But anyway, it was sort of amazing because I was outside, I guess I wasn't even outside. I think I looked through the window, and here was a neighbor boy, and I hardly talked to him, but little Mexican boy, and he was mowing my grass. And, you know, I've been praying that, you know, I would meet some people that I could talk to, that I could minister to, even some neighbors. And praise the Lord, I was able to talk to him. He was easy to talk to. And he said, well, I was just mowing my own lawn, and I just noticed yours, and I just thought I wanted to do yours too. He said, I just love to work outside and do things like mowing, and it was so neat, and I offered him some money and he wouldn't take it, you know, and oh, he said, oh, I'll even shovel for you in the winter time. And I mean, I don't know what all will happen, but oh my, I'd like to reach that family. Praise the Lord. You know, I don't know what God is going to do, but you know what, I know He knows our needs. And He hears our cries. Oh, He's not limited to what He can do. You know, He knows how to do things that are impossible with man. And praise the Lord. You know, that's our God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, my, He's able to supply all our needs according to His riches and glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. But I'm going to continue here in 2 Corinthians, this 10th chapter, with the 5th verse, because this tells us a little about how to fight. Because in these spiritual battles that we fight, so often there are things that get in the way. And one thing that can be very hindering is our own mind. It can get in the way. We can have all these thoughts. And, you know, oh my, those thoughts can be stray. And, you know, sometimes assumptions and all these things develop in our mind. And, you know, we come up with all these excuses or reasonings or, you know, why can't, or, you know, that is not right, or blah, 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 blah. You know, all these things that, you know, that happen in the mind, this tendency to, you know, build cases and you know, just, you know, think in places that we shouldn't. And have all these what ifs, all these worries, you know, all these fears, you know, oh, if I do that, what if, you know, it doesn't work. You know, I go pray for that person and nothing happens. It's time to let go of all that. Amen. It's time to walk in faith and not in fear, not in doubt, and not to be hindered all the time. Oh, God, help us to rise up and do His will. Praise the Lord. And you know, it's so curious because, Lord, we'll not get to this verse, but you know, it tells us in Proverbs, the 23rd chapter, in verse 7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so he is." Our thoughts, you know, it might be more than you think. We don't want to let our thoughts go astray and you know, embrace all kinds of, you know, possibilities that, you know, bring about doubt and fear and, oh, opposition and, you know, cases against people or whatever all. And another beautiful psalm is Psalm 19. Where David penned, oh, as he was writing there under the anointing of the Lord. And this is so beautiful. He wrote, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord." And what a prayer. You know, yes, we need to guard our words, that's for sure. Because, you know, what comes out, it does matter. You know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And, you know, Jesus said in the 12th chapter of Matthew, by our words, we're going to be justified, or by our words, we are going to be condemned. Yes, we need to guard our mouth. He talked about how a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth evil things. And he talked about how every idle word is going to be judged, that there's going to be an accounting for idle words. And yes, ending that thought there by saying, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Oh, there's a lot to think about. Oh yes, you know, if there's an evil heart, Jesus said, you know, how can you, if you're being evil, how can you speak good things? Because he said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Oh, the things that are deep down inside our being. Oh, yes, that, you know, come out, those thoughts and those feelings that are deep down inside. But I love that 19th Psalm where, yes, it was penned, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God," O Lord, rather. And, you know, wow, it's something to think. It caught my attention just recently when, you know, I just, somehow these verses started coming to me and I began to think, oh my, I mean, yes, perhaps we have learned to guard our words, and I pray we have. But, you know, also our thoughts, they too need to be guarded. We need to, you know, stop anything that tries to rise up in, you know, a thought that, you know, is negative, a thought that doesn't bring forth faith. We need to learn how to put those thoughts down and not let them take us captive, not let them carry us away, not let them to bring fears and doubts and opposition and negative thoughts and emotions to rise within our being. Oh, praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 5 here, in 2 Corinthians 10, oh, it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. If it's not God's word, then we don't want it in our heart. If it's something in opposition to the ways of the Lord, you know, that's not going to build us up and edify us. We don't want to hold on to those things. I know there's certain things that we have to acknowledge at times in certain situations and all, but, you know, we don't want to be overtaken with, you know, a run of negative thoughts that just, you know, tumbles over and over and over and over again, you know, and replays in our mind 1,000 times, so to speak, and, you know, just, you know, drags us down and hinders us. No, it tells us, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, what a mouthful there. And, oh, yes, striving to learn how to bring those thoughts, those imaginations down and not let them rise in our hearts. Oh, yeah, the devil's going to try to tempt us. He's going to, you know, try to project thoughts that, you know, we don't want and get us thinking in a negative way, or maybe, you know, the voice of somebody else. But praise the Lord, by the mercy and grace of God, we will want to learn how to just lay those things aside and just, you know, dismiss them before they really, you know, grow down there and become a whole storybook. Oh, by the grace of God, by the mercy of God, we can cast down imaginations and every high thing that it exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. We want to be submitted to His will. If we're going to overcome this world, we're going to have to learn how to walk in faith and how to submit our lives into God's hands and allow Him to be the ruler of our lives. Praise the Lord. This is what this life is about. It's about getting ready to meet the Lord. We're going to see Him one of these days. We're going to stand before Him. And praise the Lord, we want to get ready. This is what life is about. It's about getting ready to meet the Lord so we can stand before Him and hear Him say, well done. We don't want to stand in condemnation. We don't want to stand with offenses. You know, we don't want to stand with sin in our lives. And praise the Lord, we have moments right now to get right with God, to give these things over to the Lord, and to learn how to fight the good fight of faith and to lay hold on eternal life. Oh, praise the Lord. I remember pastors saying many times that we become what we think about most of the time. Oh, yeah, you know, what is really deep down inside, what is really in our hearts, is going to come out, you know, one way or the other. It's going to show. And the Lord knows every little bit of it. Oh, He does. Oh, but praise the Lord, there is a way that we can overcome the world. Oh, praise the Lord, we can walk in faith. We can walk in victory. Praise the Lord. Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 4, says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the careful there means to not be anxious, not to be worried, not to be consumed with what ifs and, you know, worry. No, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Praise the Lord, giving it over to the Lord, you know. He knows those things that we have need of before we ask. But praise the Lord, he also expects us to come to that throne of grace. Oh, yes, and to bring our petitions before him. And praise the Lord, we are invited to do so. And it tells us, but in everything, this is our mode of life. This is the way we walk. This is the way we handle problems. You know, we don't have to go run to, you know, Clara down the street and ask her for advice. And sometimes people can help us, thank the Lord. And you know, there's a wonder about, you know, a good word and somebody especially who is in contact with God who can help us at times. But praise the Lord, there is that throne of grace. Oh, and we are bid to go there to bring all our needs and our petitions before the Almighty God. And what a privilege it is. You know, he's deity. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. You know, and who are we? We're just dust of this earth. But yet, you know, we have access to that throne. We can go before that throne at any time, at any hour. There may be nobody else to call upon. Oh, but thank the Lord, we can go before him. We can let, oh yes, our request to be known unto God. Oh, I thank God for that privilege. Oh, I thank God. Oh my, it's such a wonderful thing to be able to, you know, kneel, if you will, or sit in your chair even and, you know, bring your needs before the Lord, even lying on your bed. Oh my, driving down the road in your car, walking down the street. Praise the Lord. We can be in communion with God. We can tell him the desires of our heart, the needs that we have. Praise the Lord. Oh, we can bring those requests unto his throne. And by everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Praise the Lord. And it assures us in verse 7 here, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Oh, that is so beautiful in this world where, you know, we might worry about Alzheimer's and all kinds of possibilities. You know, but praise the Lord. Here he has told us, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Oh, that peace that he puts deep within. That peace that the world can't possibly give us. Oh, that peace that helps us to know it's going to be all right, even though we might be going, through the midst of a great battle. Oh, we might be fighting a great war, but praise the Lord, if the peace of God is there, oh yes, it can storm. It can calm the greatest of storms. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, and yes, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. I like that. A promise of the Lord that he is able to keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. And then we get to verse 8 here. And here, oh yes, this is how we want to live. And this is how we want to think. Tells us in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Oh, praise the Lord, dwelling on the good things of God. Oh, praise the Lord, the wonderful things that He has done, and the things that are true and honest and just and pure, lovely and of good report. Praise the Lord, things that are virtuous. And things that are praiseworthy. Oh, praise the Lord, dwelling on the good things of the Lord. Oh, yes, lifting up praise unto God, acknowledging Him, and, you know, letting down all those negative things that try to hit us over the head. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, the way to live, yes, to allow the Lord to take over and have His way in our lives. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It tells us in the very first psalm, just a beautiful passage also here. We just read a little bit here. Psalms 1, it says in the very first verse, "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Doesn't that go along with Philippians 4:8? Praise the Lord. His delight, that person that is walking with the Lord and meditating upon the Lord, not walking in the counsel of the ungodly or standing in the way of sinners or sitting in the seat of the scornful, but all the thoughts are upon the Lord. Our mind is stayed upon Him. Praise the Lord. We're trusting in the Lord. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law doth He meditate day and night. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes. Oh, what good things come forth when our minds are stayed upon God. Praise the Lord. And these are ways to overcome. This is why I'm teaching this tonight. I'm trying to, yes, use Scripture here to help us to overcome this world, this fight that we're all fighting in, this world that we all live in. And it tells us here in verse 3 here in Psalms 1, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Oh, praise the Lord, the blessings of the Lord. Oh, yes, those that delight themselves in the Lord. Oh, yes, He knows how to give us the desires of our heart. But we want to have our mind stayed upon the Lord. We want our delight, the thing that we love the most, to be the law of the Lord, His word, His concepts, His thinking. Oh, yes, for that to consume us, to be, you know, fill up our minds. That's why, you know, we want to just keep our minds on the Lord. So, you know, that's our thought process. Oh, so we know, you know, right from wrong. And, you know, we're encouraged. We can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Tells us, oh yes, in the second part of this chapter, "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." And listen to verse 6. Praise the Lord. It says, "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous." Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord is with His people. And He knows the way of the righteous. He knows our ways. He knows our thoughts. He knows our needs. And He's there to meet those needs and to help us to gain strength and to overcome this world. But on the contrary, "But the way of the ungodly shall perish." Oh my, it's going to be such a wonder to stand before the presence of the Lord and know, yes, that we have overcome the world by His strength and by His power. Oh no, it's not by might, nor it's not by power, but it's by His Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Praise the Lord. That's how we walk by faith. It's not by, you know, the might of men or the might of women. It's not by power that people try to, you know, possess and reach for. but it's by the Spirit of the living God. Praise the Lord that we can walk by faith and not by sight. Praise the Lord that we can lay hold on things that are eternal. Praise the Lord and fight this good fight of faith. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's going to be so wonderful. Oh, yes. To overcome this world, to be able to stand before our God. Amen. Truly, that is our goal, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Galatians at this point. There's so much in this portion of Scripture also to help us to know how we can overcome the world, our flesh. Oh, yes, that realm of the physical. It tells us if we turn to Galatians, the 5th chapter here. Praise the Lord. Well, let's start with the first verse. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled with the yoke of bondage." And we know this church of Galatia, this epistle that Paul was writing when he wrote it, was written to these people at Galatia, and he had great concerns about them because, you know, he had doubts, he had wonders, because it seemed like they were trying to go back to the old law. And, you know, insist that you had to be circumcised, insist that you would keep, you know, the Sabbath days, the holy days, and everything else. Well, there are some corrections that are made in this chapter, or in this whole book, in reality. And here, this first verse, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And then he goes on to say, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law." Oh my, you know, and you know, it's one thing to be circumcised, you know, because of some other reason, but if you're doing it because it's part of the law and you're trying to keep the law, then it tells us here, then, you know, you are a debtor to do the whole law. Then the whole thing is required. And it tells us in verse 4, "Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law." Ye are fallen from grace. And there's a movement right now for people to, you know, want to go back to the law. And, you know, it is a movement in, you know, among the Jewish people too, just to literally go back to the law of Moses. But here it tells us clearly, "Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace." Wow, that's clear. "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." See, our walk is by faith. Oh, it's you know, it's not by sight. We're walking by faith. "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." And, you know, he told these people here in verse 7, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" They were greatly hindered because, yes, they were trying to go back to the old law and require it and demand it, even though, you know, they were Gentile people. And, boy, Paul is clear here. He said, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" Big question. And then he says, "This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you." This is not of God. You know, you're doing this of yourself. You're trying to, you know, go back to the law, which, you know, was of works. Oh, where? Oh, yes, this wonderful dispensation of grace. Oh yes, it's by the faith of Jesus Christ that we prevail. It's a walk by faith. Praise the Lord, it's a walk in the Spirit. He says, "A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." Oh, this is serious. A little bit of this into your thinking is going to leaven the whole lump. Pretty soon, you're just going to be leaven. And that's equated with sin. He says in verse 10, I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. Obviously, Judaizers had come into that church and tried to persuade them and tried to trouble them, you know. And so Paul is trying to quench this thinking right then and there, you know, right at the moment. And he says, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased, you know. Jesus would not have to have died and taken our sin upon himself if we were still under the law instead of grace. And, you know, Paul is really, he's upset that these offenses have come into this church. He says in verse 12, I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. I'm sick of this. These people, these Judaizers who come into the scene and try to convince you that you need to walk in the law. You know, and to say that you've got to be circumcised and, you know, keep all the other ordinances. Paul was very upset. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And then he gets into this other thing. He says in verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Oh, praise the Lord. It's that simple. Praise the Lord. That's the fulfillment of the law. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Oh, it's not good when all these angry spirits get into the church and people start, you know, attacking one another. And of course, in this case, even bringing in false doctrines. And here, oh, how do we overcome the world? He says in verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Oh yes, while we are in this human form, you know, we have this tug of war going on within us. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit. And then, yes, the Spirit of the living God, oh, comes against the works of the flesh. And they're contrary. They don't, you know, they rub against each other. They cause, you know, strife and envy and division and all kinds of conflicts. They don't work together. Oh, Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. You know, he's going to hate the one and love the other, or hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And I know another little saying I believe that pastor used to say is, you know, yeah, there may be two dogs kind of fighting, coming at each other. And that's kind of the way it is. And, you know, we have this internal war, the flesh against the Spirit. And what is the outcome? Who is the one that wins? Oh, the one that you feed. The one that you feed the most. You know, praise the Lord, we can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, learning to put down the works of the flesh and letting the works of the Spirit rise, learning how to allow the Spirit of the living God to lead us, to guide us, so we don't have to be under the law, but rather under the Spirit of the living God. Praise the Lord. And he says, yes, again, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And Paul's talking about it. He described it in other places too, that war that we fight in our inner beings. But praise the Lord, we don't have to feed the works of the flesh. You know, we can learn to let them go and bring them down so, you know, they don't rise and overwhelm us and, you know, cause us to get, in another mode and another way of thinking that's negative and nasty and not the flesh and not of God. And then he says in verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, praise the Lord. God has made a way that we can deny the flesh. We don't have to walk in the flesh. Oh, we don't have to have works of the flesh in our lives. And oh, he's telling us, yes, to put all of those down. They don't belong in the lives of God's people. Never, you know, to have adultery or fornication or uncleanness. Oh, yes. Oh, all those works, you know, uncleanness is described in Romans, that first chapter. Oh, when it talks about, you know, that homosexual tendency where God actually gave people over to those works of uncleanness because they did not glorify God in their being. They allowed the flesh to run wild in their lives. They were not thankful. And you know, God gave these people over to a reprobate mind so that they can no longer discern between what is right and what is wrong. It's a horrible, horrible place to be. But we don't want any of these works of the flesh to be in our lives. Any lewdness, any lasciviousness or idolatry. And that's more than, you know, looking at an idol, you know, a stone or a statue of some sort. It can be idols in the heart. Things that people worship, you know, and give their heart to. We don't want any of those things in our lives. Oh, certainly no witchcraft. And oh, that's another thing that has risen up in this land. Oh, yes, people, I'm sure, very unknowingly, actually, in many cases, are doing witchcraft. Oh, if you know, you're reading Harry Potter books and you know, material of that ilk, you know, you might be surprised. You might be automatically thinking like that, the thoughts of a witch. And you know what? It's risen. That's common in this world. So we don't want anything to do with it. You know, people with these manifestations are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. It's just that simple. You cannot live for God and live in the flesh and have these manifestations in your life. You just can't do it. You've got to give your heart over to the Lord. You've got to let Him come in and rule and reign in your life. Oh, yes, that's why He outpours the Holy Ghost into our hearts. So, yes, we can be led by the Spirit of the living God and not be under the law, so that we can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Oh yes, that's why He poured out of His Spirit, one of the very great reasons, so that we wouldn't have to live as the old man once lived. Because yes, we were all in that place at one point where yes, we were walking in the flesh, we were doing the things of the flesh, we were minding the things of the flesh. That was our thought process, and that's the way we lived, and that's all we knew, I suppose. But praise the Lord, none of these things. We don't want any of these characteristics in our heart. No hatred, no variance, or, you know, emulations, or wrath, strife, seditions, oh my, heresies. And all there's, you know, what people call heresy is probably not what God calls heresy, because anything that, is taught against, in opposition to the Word of God, is a heresy. But I dare say, I would suppose a lot of people would define that a little differently, wouldn't they? We don't want to emulate others, and we don't want to have wrath or strife or seditions, to have a rebellious spirit, an antichrist spirit within our being. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, all that terrible party spirit that gives over to things of the flesh, and all those revelings that, exist in the lives of many people, and it becomes a drunken brawl, and God knows what else follows. Oh, how horrible that is, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But praise the Lord, there is a fruit of the Spirit. Oh, praise the Lord, the fruit that God's people bring forth. And now it names the fruit of the Spirit in verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Temperance is self-control. Against such there is no law. Praise the Lord. And he went on to say, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Oh, yes, we said goodbye to the old man, the old ways, the old works of the flesh. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all those things that once worked in us and walked in us and hindered us. Oh, yes, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Oh, we've said goodbye. We've nailed those things to the cross, so to speak. Oh, we've given them over to the Lord. Oh, yes, and of course, if mistakes would happen, and yes, we're human, and it can. Oh, we definitely want to get right up and make it right with God, and get our heart back right with God, and determine that we're going to yet let go of all those things that have hindered us and dragged us down and worked against us in opposition to the will of God. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And it says in verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Oh, that's the realm we want to walk in. That's how we can overcome. Oh, yes. By the blood of Jesus Christ and the word of our testimony. And we love not our life unto the death. Praise the Lord, because yes, we learned how to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Oh yes, to give those things, those characteristics, all those things that try to rise up over to the living God, and let Him take our lives. Oh, He's so gracious, He's so kind. And yes, we start our new life with the Lord as a newborn babe. We might not know very much at the first, but He begins to talk to us and teach us, and hopefully you'll have inspirational people to also help you in your walk with the Lord. And we have His Word, which is a wonderful, wonderful blessing. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. But praise the Lord, we begin that process to walk with the Lord, to put down the old man, to not let that flesh to rise up. Oh, to give It already credits to it. But oh yes, to lift up the Lord and let Him shine through us and let Him walk through us. And oh, let Him, you know, lead us and guide us. Oh, you know, to take us, you know, to direct our paths. You know, you don't know. Saturday or ago or so, I just had a day where I knew I had to get out of the house. I didn't know what to do exactly, but I just knew I had to go do something. And you know what? It seemed like the Lord just kind of compelled me. It was so amazing. He took me to Juneau. There's a trail there that I walk sometimes. And, you know, I went there, and lo and behold, there was a young woman with a child. And a young child, and you know, I just kind of knew that God had just sort of brought me there to talk to this young woman. Oh, I pray that she comes, you know. I was able to talk to her a little bit there and encourage her to seek the Lord and turn things over to the living God, that He would care, and you know, that she could call upon Him. But praise the Lord, we don't know. The Lord knows how to lead us. He knows how to direct us. He knows how to, you know, help us to go where we need to go, to say what we need to say. Life changes so much. And from day to day, just the other day, I was going to go to the bank. And that was a Saturday, too. And I went to the bank, and it was a left at 12. And first place I went, it was closed. Maybe the other bank, you know, outlet will be opened. And I went there, it was closed. And, oh, I thought, I guess I better go get gas in my car. And I went and pulled up there at, you know, the tank, and there's a big sign on it, it's out of order. And I'm thinking, oh, wow, Lord, I'm just really, you know, not doing so well today. But, you know, I did find another tank that I could use, but it was like, oh my, you know, these things are working. But you know what? The Lord had other plans, and He took me other places, and I was able to talk to, you know, a few other people and give out some tracts, and who knows? God knows. But you know, we don't know, you know, but we just want to learn to turn our lives over to the living God and let Him direct our paths. Oh, it's going to be full of surprises. But oh, there's going to be glorious things that He's going to do for us. We're going to see His hands. We're going to know His ways. We're going to be an instrument that He can use. Praise the Lord. And we're going to overcome the world. Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to walk by faith and not by sight. You're going to lay hold on eternal life. Praise the Lord. And fight this good fight of faith. Praise the Lord. The Lord knows how to help us. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, as it says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is a victory that overcometh the world. Praise the Lord, even our faith. Oh, praise the Lord. Our faith in the living God, it's not what we can do. It's not how brainy we are, or how, you know, how beautiful we can sing, or, you know, how much we know, or what we can do, all those feats that, you know, people seek to accomplish. No, by the grace of God, we want to learn to walk in the Spirit. Reading those two verses here in Galatians, the last two verses, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. No, instead we want to let the Spirit of the living God rise in our heart. And yes, to be led by the Spirit of the living God. Praise the Lord. You know, He led the children of Israel by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. That's how He led them. But you know what? In this dispensation of grace, praise the Lord, we're led by the Holy Ghost. He put His Spirit within our being when He pours out the Holy Ghost within us. so that we can be led by the Spirit of God. We don't have to be led by a pillar of cloud by day or a pillar of fire by night. But praise the Lord, we have the Lord. Oh yes, a still small voice that speaks to our soul, that inspires us and gives us direction. Oh yes, it gives us, you have a way that we need to walk in. Praise the Lord that leads us day by day, hour by hour. Oh yes, so we can be led by the Spirit of the living God. Not under the law, to do the works of the flesh. Oh no, not by any means. Oh yes, to live. Oh yes, by the fruit of the Spirit of living God. Oh yes, to live by His law that He puts within our inner being. Praise the Lord, so that we can overcome this world. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we worship you, Lord. Thank you for the strength you give us, Lord. Oh, that strength, oh, Lord, that we walk by faith and not by sight. Oh, Lord, lead us. Give us that kind of faith that overcometh the world. Help us, Lord. Lead us, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord. Oh, God, pour out of your Spirit, oh, Lord. Oh, yes, those that have not yet received the gift of the Holy Ghost, Lord, I pray that you would pour out of your Spirit, oh Lord, for you said you would pour it out upon all flesh. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, praise the Lord. We can fight this good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. By faith overcoming the world. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise the holy name of Jesus. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Well, there is a song that I would like to sing tonight. It's not in any of the books, but I believe we have sheets. So, we will get those out. Praise God. We're going to sing Faith is the Victory. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Now, I would suppose that Mom is going to need one that has the music, and some of them just have the words, but praise God.
Oh, I found it.
Oh, you have it? Okay. All right. Well, I will make sure that everybody gets a copy of this. Praise God.
Victoria.
is the victory. Oh, a glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword, the word of God. We tread the road, the saints above, with shouts of triumph trod. By faith they, like a whirlwind's breath, swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquered death is still our shining shield. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, a glorious victory that overcomes the world. On every hand the foe we find, drawn up in dread array. Let tents of ease be left behind, and onward to the fray. Salvation's helmet on each head, with truth and girt about. The earth shall tremble 'neath our tread, and echo with our shout. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, a glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, will vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, a glorious victory that overcomes the world.